Welcome back to the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
Keeping it international.
We do that a lot, actually.
I love that we get to do that.
I know.
I love that the Lord has blessed us with so many willing people who want to bring the gospel to people around the world. And two of those people in studio with us this morning, the Reverend Dr. Hans Trinklein and his lovely wife, Gretchen, serving the Lord in South Korea. Thanks so much for being our guests here on the Coffee Hour.
Oh, thank you. Glad to be here.
I am excited to learn about the work that the Lord has you doing in South Korea and what you're learning. We have 12 minutes to learn about what
your life story.
What brought you to the mission field? Let's start with that. What was life like before you headed out to the mission field? What were you all doing?
Well, I was working on my PhD at Concordia Seminary and serving a little church out in the southern Illinois cornfields. It was a wonderful place, great people. It was close enough to the seminary that I could commute for classes and research work and things like that. And it only took 15 years to finish the program. So
only 15.
Nothing wrong with that. Hey, from the guy it took 9 years to finish a master's degree, I understand completely.
It's all good. Yeah. It's all good.
And then actually during my time working on my MDiv, I met this Asian fellow who was working on an advanced degree at the SEM at the same time. And 20 years later, he gives me a call and he says, "Hey, have you ever considered serving, teaching? Are you done with your PhD yet?" almost. And he says, "Have you ever considered teaching internationally?" He said, "No." He said, "Would you pray about it?" And so we prayed about it, and he appealed to OIM, and they considered different people who might serve. And the job that I have in South Korea is a missionary theological educator. I teach at Luther University and Luther Seminary, which grew out of LCMS mission work back in the 50s and 60s. And the South Korean church body grew out of that, and their institution, which is both undergraduate in a number of fields and graduate, you know, seminary and such, and they wanted to strengthen their relationship with the Missouri Synod. And so there we were. And we've been in the field 2 years now. Gretchen's with me, and our four kids all moved to South Korea, and they are now 23, 20, 18, and 16. My oldest daughter just got married a few days ago, and she's married to a missionary to Paraguay.
Wow.
They're out doing their home service network building kind of stuff. And the three kids and Gretchen and I will be going back to South Korea in a couple months.
Wow. There's so many stories there.
I know I don't have the talking stick, but I have to ask. So your daughter now would be a second generation missionary, or do you have any other missionaries in your family line here?
Oh, dear. No. My dad was a Lutheran teacher,
okay.
So I jumped ship to go into the pastoral.
You're an educator.
That's true.
It works.
That's true. Now I'm back again. That's what it is.
My dad has done a bunch of short-term mission trips to South Africa and has always had a mission heart. Yeah, so
he's a pastor out in Phoenix.
Yes.
So there is some bloodline there.
Yes.
What is the transition to the South Korean culture been like for your family?
Wow. It was not as difficult as we expected or heard that it might be.
That's good.
Some of our kids adjusted really quickly. Our son, Mike, who is 18, he has embraced that culture. I mean, we wonder if he's ever going to come back. So we'll see. I mean, God knows. But I feel like the adjustment was not bad at all. Like, the Lord had a place for us there. We knew some people who could speak English, so we got there, and they helped us get acclimated and teach us how to do the stores and the everything. So it was not as bad as what we've heard it sometimes is.
The language, on the other hand.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's something else. And I think one of the reasons Mike has acclimated so well is he's picked up the language the best of any of us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a very, going from like English, I almost said American, going from English to, you know, a European language, that's one shift. At least your alphabet is right. About the same. But going from English to an Asian language, that's a big jump.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And a big adjustment. And something that always comes up is the shopping experiences. I think with almost all of our missionaries,
it's because we're American.
Right.
We're consumers.
Right? But being able to, you know, survive in a place, you have to be able to know how to purchase things. And that, I mean, culturally, that's even different.
Right. Mm-hmm. I still remember when the kids and I arrived. Hans went first and got there about 3 weeks before the kids and I did. When I got there, like, the day after we arrived, and went shopping with Hans and kind of a pastor friend who speaks English well, a Korean pastor. Mm-hmm. I just was like numb, looking around the store going, I have no idea where anything is or what like a bunch of these products are, most of these products. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of strange. You feel like you're in another world going, okay, someday I guess this will be familiar, but it sure isn't right now.
And you have to know how to deal with the money too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It really does look like Monopoly money. Each denomination, if you excuse the religious pun, each denomination is a different color. Mm-hmm. The 1,000 won is blue, the 5,000 is pink, the 10,000 is green, and the 50,000 is yellow, and they're all slightly different sizes. And it's like, if it ain't green, it ain't money. I'm not used to this.
Tell me a little bit about the theological education that you're doing in South Korea. You're at a university and seminary, is that right?
Yes. Yeah, Luther University and Luther Seminary, all on one campus. And I teach undergraduate doctrine classes and things like that, and seminary classes, Book of Concord, theological method, English Bible reading, or things like that. They are very keen on increasing the English competency level for the sake of their pastors to be able to join the international dialogue on theology and things. So part of my work is to help them improve their English skills, and the other is to work on, I'm a systematics teacher, and so that's doctrine by doctrine, the areas that I like to explore. And so the classes are really enjoyable, except I have to teach in English, and this pastor friend who's in one of the professors, he's the Old Testament prof, he translates for me, which is a lot of fun because we get to do the interaction like I see you two doing as you're working.
I don't know what you're speaking of.
But the challenge is there because some of the things or the concepts are brand new. The undergraduate classes, in my doctrine class, I have zero Lutherans.
Wow.
There's an incredible mix. The Lutheran church is very small on Long Island, okay. in South Korea. And so it's a tremendous mix, Presbyterians and Methodists and Assemblies of God and all kinds of people. And they're coming to these things and their eyes are real big. They're really interested and excited. So those are fun. And I have to admit that I have a number of English classes that I teach for the freshmen, which is a whole different smoke. but this gives me the opportunity to meet every student in the entire university, which I'm trusting God will use to great benefit later.
Yeah. We have 1 minute and there's so many things I want to ask. I don't know if you can answer this in 1 minute, but what is the Lutheran Church in South Korea like? You mentioned it's small.
Yeah. Oh, marvelous people.
Amazing.
Oh, so warm. It's amazing. Just delightful, eager, very connected. Every church has communion every Sunday, and every church has a fellowship luncheon the entire congregation every Sunday.
Wow.
And so they connect in both meals, which is really interesting.
So much we can learn from that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Speaking of meals, we have like 20 seconds left.
We have to ask, though.
So this is my million-dollar question every time. Your favorite food that you've adopted in your new life?
Bulgogi for me.
Bibimbap. Which is kind of a mixture of vegetables and rice and sometimes meat. And you add this hot red gochujang sauce and mix it all up and eat it with chopsticks or a spoon or whatever.
So you're getting the language, man. You're saying those things just like that.
I mean, when it's food, right. Of course you're going to pick it up.
You got to pick up the language quickly.
Universal language.
Right?
Follow the Trinkline, serving the Lord in South Korea, lcms.org/Trinkline. Other ways that we can keep up with your story? Which is followed. Is that the best place?
Let us know and we'll put you on the newsletter. Wonderful. Email list.
And we have a blog. Trinkline family.wordpress.com.
We'll put the link with the program notes. Thank you so much for being our guest on the Coffee Hour today.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much.
I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. The listener-supported broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. To support the Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit kfuo.org or text KFUO to 41444. KFUO, Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.
Concordia University, Wisconsin in Mequon overlooks a half mile of beautiful Lake Michigan shoreline. CUW campus is located 15 miles north of Milwaukee, with over 70 undergraduate majors, 28 graduate degree programs, and doctorate programs in pharmacy, physical therapy, occupational therapy, and nursing practice. CUW offers online learning and accelerated learning at one of 9 Wisconsin centers and one in St. Louis. Traditional or accelerated education, CUW has the program for you. CUW.edu.